Today I have an exciting topic, removing friction in mortgage lending. And I have the perfect expert, Mike Cush. Mike is an excellent mortgage banker. He's been in our business a long time. He currently is Vice President of Mortgage Strategy at AmeriSave. Prior to that, he's with PH&H. So talk about the whole idea of friction. What does it mean to the consumer side? What's it mean internally? Talk about the big picture, and then we'll get into some nitty-gritty.
Okay, so I think that AI is going to bring a lot of change in a lot of different ways in our economy. But one of the big things that it's going to do is to remove little places where there's friction that prevents things from being super easy for a consumer, right? It requires them to take multiple steps. So I think that if you think about a process, which like a purchase mortgage, or buying a house that involves so many different people and so many different processes, it's the ultimate place where AI could remove friction and make things simpler for a borrower. And I think that's going to have a lot of impact, not just on mortgage, but on a lot of the different pieces of the home buying process. So it's removing the tiny little steps that make things, that allow things to be simpler. I always think of Apple as the company that is built on removing. Everything they do, you take it out of the box and you don't have to think. They've removed the friction. The screen pops up, it tells you what to do, and you instantly understand how to use the product because they removed all the friction and their success followed.
So let's think about, I know I mentioned to you this the other day, is that as an example, I considered friction that where a lot of companies consider it helpful to, in essence, have a consumer, a positive consumer interaction. But friction is you can't talk, one lender that I know of particularly, you can't talk to the loan officer. They send the digital link for them to the customer to fill out 250 data points, then the loan officer can talk to you. Now, I would say that's a lot of friction.
I mean, my personal, I have very strong opinions about this. Like, my personal opinion is not only is that friction, but that's basically, you're basically outsourced. Like, I always looked at my job as a loan officer, but be a financial bartender. And my job is to engage with them while I'm asking them the questions that go on the 1003 to uncover the things that they think and feel that impact. That I can impact in the way that I relay information back to them. So if I simply say to them, I'm not going to talk to you, I'm going to send you this link, you're going to do this in your home, on your phone, wherever. I always think of business, especially over the phone or the internet, as a store. And if you relate what you do to a store, if somebody walked up to your store and you instantly walked and turned the close sign and said, we're closed right now. However, I'd like you to look at our catalog, fill out the form of the things that you want. And then come back to me when you are fully prepared. There is zero chance that you would go back to that store. Zero chance. And I think that's what a point of sale does. Do I think that every instance is that? No, because there's some, listen, if you have, I always say to people, if you have 100 borrowers, they all want different stuff, and your job is to figure out what they want. There is some subset of borrowers. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to talk to you, Pat. I want you to give me the application so I can complete it. And for that subset of people, that's the perfect product. Is that 20% of the people? Is it 30% of the people? I don't know. Is it 100% of the people? No, plain and simple, it's not. So if that's your process, you're creating friction, but you're also creating like disrespect for no reason.
Well, that raises the issue that in talking about friction, what we think removing friction, a lot of times what I see in the mortgage industry, removing friction is making our life easier and not the consumer.
I'll tell you, that's not, how I feel about this. I mean, if I sit and I look at LinkedIn all day and I see the comments from the mortgage industry about vendors and products and things that they're working on, it's almost always designed around making our life easier, making the LO's life easier, increasing the productivity of a loan officer. I mean, if you do five loans a month, which don't get me wrong, that's great. But if you do five loans a month, your issue isn't productivity. You don't need, we don't need to build systems to make you more efficient. So that shouldn't be your focus, right? The focus should be on 100% of the things you think about should start at the customer and work backwards.
When you're thinking about and you're raising the issue, we need to rethink our thinking because a lot of these technologies are really postured from the standpoint of and positioned by vendors as well. This will be more more productivity is going to increase when we really don't start with the consumer and look at, well, what does the consumer want? And in essence, they don't want to fill out 250 data points in that process. And
Well, I
so,
mean, they certainly don't want to, not all of them want to do it on their own without guidance,
correct,
right? And
correct.
they also don't want to do it without context, and they don't want to do it without understanding. I think there's a drastic difference between technology that helps an underwriter very quickly get complete context on a file to make the one decision they have to make quickly. That is okay, right? But if the goal is to minimize contact with a consumer, I don't know that that's like necessarily a winning strategy. I think if you can make the process for the consumer simpler so that you can then spend that time, education, guidance, experience, devote the time to that, then that's not a bad trade-off.
A lot of times what I see, and certainly you hear this conversation, that what makes it easier for the consumer, we really don't, I don't know that we understand. I think we understand, and there's certainly lots of surveys and people send out, what did you think of the process? But I don't think any of that today really reflects what is it that makes it easier or that we understand it. And I know you've been focused on this type of thinking about what it is. Talk to us about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, like, first of all, about surveys. I have a restaurant that I've discovered that sends me a survey every time I eat there. And if I answer the survey, I get $3 off. So I answer the
Right.
survey. Are my answers valid? I don't know. You asked me, and I'm a nice guy, so I'm not going to say it was horrible. And I just go through the survey. Like, so I don't know how much value there is in surveys. What I think there's value in is, one of the things I love about where I work now is that, we spend a lot of time listening to calls, analyzing calls, watching the steps that consumers take when we're working with them on the application. That's feedback, right? That's true, real
Sure.
feedback that is not forced like a survey. What is easy for a consumer? I think that there is so much complexity in the home buying process that, and you and I talked about this a little a minute ago, but there's so much complexity in the home buying process. There's so many people involved. I think that the one thing, the one step, the one trend that I do think is going to happen that is going to benefit consumers is going to be consolidation. It's going to be using AI to share information across providers and vendors, and some of those roles are going to consolidate. And the perfect example to me is, as much as people want to fight it, I think we're going to really see growth in the next year or two of NMLS licensed real estate agents, because it's one less. Now, is that for everybody? No, but for many people, it's one less person that I have to deal with. I don't have to deal with 11 people in the purchase process. Now I only have to deal with 10, and I think
Gotcha.
it'll be the to a consumer, it's one person that understands my goals and what I'm looking for and what I'm working toward. I don't have to tell it to two people. I only have to tell it to one person. And if I understand mortgage and I'm comfortable with that, and I don't need that financial bartender, that hand holder the whole way, I'd rather deal with one less person. And that's the removal of friction. And I think that AI is one way that's going to make that agent be able to do that job better, because it's going to help educate and guide them on the next step, the thing that they have to do, just like it is for a lot of loan officers now. So, I think that's a great example of a way to remove friction that for some subset of customers will make things simpler.
So when the interaction does happen, and let's say, I don't disagree about, obviously, you see the real estate industry trying to blend its services together with all financial products. So, but when you look at it, at some point, that interaction and the real estate world, agent world is similar to our world, there's kind of a low barrier to entry. And so the talent set and how we pay them
I could
is.
agree. I always say that if you, first of all, I agree with you 100%. I think that real estate, because of the fact that they're 1099,
Correct.
I saw the stat the other day, like 71% of agents last year didn't sell a single home, and like the
Right.
20% sold like one or two. Well, you got exactly, my dad always used to say to me, you get exactly out of life what you put into it. So if you design a system
Right.
where we can't help, that you're 1099, we can't help you, we can't tell you what to do, There's no economics in it to coach you. You get exactly what you designed, which is a
Correct.
system where the overwhelming vast majority of people aren't successful.
Right.
Mortgage is close to that, but not to the same
Correct.
degree. And the 1099 probably plays a part in it. But it's I understand and I agree with your assessment that there's a very low barrier to entry and there's almost no barrier to people staying engaged. And that's dangerous for a consumer because you have no way to really gauge what a person's
Correct.
knowledge base is. However, another example where I think AI can help in any job to basically like serve up, what do I say next? I got the new AirPods where it can instantly translate in my ear from foreign languages and tell me what somebody's saying. Is it unrealistic that in 6 months, like I'm not suggesting this, but is it unrealistic in
Understand.
6 months that I couldn't become a real estate agent on the weekend and it just tell me in my ear what to say? I don't think that's crazy in the world. Is it good? That's not what I'm saying, but is it possible? Is there going to be coaching systems in the ear? Is there going to be support and information systems in your ear? Yeah, I think that's probable.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying that that's good. I'm not saying that.
I understand.
I'm also by saying that NMLS agents, licensing agents for mortgage, I'm not suggesting the ones that have never sold a home go out and become loan officers. But if you're an agent that does it full time and you sold three or four homes last year, if you also did three or four mortgages, that could be a substantial difference in your annual income, right?
Right.
Why wouldn't that be of interest to you? Why wouldn't,
Yeah.
or maybe the hyper super agents don't care because they're selling,
Sure.
$4 million in real estate a year. But if I'm a person that makes 125 grand a year as a real estate agent and I can make 225 adding mortgage,
Sounds like a deal.
why wouldn't I?
No.
Especially
So
if there's a consumer base that isn't going to reject that out of hand.
that's a good point. And certainly, I think some companies on the mortgage side have viewed that as one of their growth strategies. Let's get these real estate agents and so forth. So I guess we'll see how that works out. So talk about, because I know you work on this all the time, is that, and I'm going back to this issue about if you're starting to look at how to remove friction, where is the first part you should start?
To me, I think that the world of home search starts with home search, right?
Correct.
So, if you add up the monthly viewership of Zillow, Realtor.com, Homes.com, and Redfin, it's substantially larger than the US population, right? So it's a hobby for people. People spend tons of times on these real estate search portals.
Sure.
But the subset that's actually looking for houses, they're definitely on the real estate search portals, number one. Number two, they're using an interface that is tied to their finances, which is they're going into the filters and using the filters to try to determine
Right.
the homes that they want to see. Now, they're not necessarily saying, let me put my mortgage approval guidelines into this search screen, but why aren't they? Why isn't that how it works? Why isn't there a little button that says, oh, I could hit this button and upload my pay stub and it might tell me if this house works for me? Maybe I'll take that. Maybe I'll sneak, maybe as a Zillow, I'll sneak people into applying. I'll let them apply piece by piece, right? By providing value to them in the interrelationship between home search and that person's finances. And you remove the friction. I don't need to put down the phone and answer the call
Right.
to Zillow Home Loans right away or call the local loan officer or whatever, because you're integrating those two pieces of information in the place that I need that integration. And all of a sudden you provided value to me. If you wanted to create something, that's the first place to create it.
Well, I have to have you come back and talk about that by itself because I saw a 60 Minute where they were looking at high schools today as an example, and the teacher, they've integrated ChatGPT, and the students are allowed to have the iPads up on their desk and so forth. And it's actually made it tells me that that's how this will be done, is that they're learning. And when they interviewed all the students actually perform better because a question pops in their mind. Maybe the class is over. They can go on and figure out the answer or an answer that is in essence, hopefully correct. And so the search side seems to me to be really not recognized as really the biggest opportunity on the financial sector, because at the end of the day, you're having kids that will be buy home buyers not that far off that in essence are used to doing it that way instead of like, well, let me ask my parents how to get a, who should I talk to?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, on the broader topic of whether you use AI and what AI is used for learning lessons, I always think of, I don't think there's a person that ever graduated from high school that didn't say, why do I have to learn this math when I'm never going to use it? And then as soon as calculators started, you really knew you were going to never use it, right? So it's like you're learning things for 12 years that you don't, by definition, you don't need to learn because you have a calculator. I think we're in a stage with AI where it's, there's one voice that says AI is not going to take your job. Somebody that can use AI will take your job. While people are also denying that they use AI, while we're still teaching all of the stuff that you don't even need to learn anymore because you can use AI. So hopefully we don't go through a long, crazy period where all these mixed things bang each other in the head. And we say, okay, well, this is the way that makes sense for the future. I don't know what the convergence of all those things will be and what the path will be, but me myself, I've really dug in. I mean, I have multiple AI subscriptions that I use for different things and I test them, and the difference between when it first started and today is mind-blowing. 6 months ago, I tried to figure out how to do this complex Excel spreadsheet using Copilot, and it didn't even understand what I was asking. Now, today, I just tell it what I want, and it does it. I mean, the trajectory of how crazy this stuff is getting. My point is, let's learn the lesson from not teaching math for 40 years when we had calculators. We have AI, which is calculators on steroids. Let's adapt to it and take advantage of its incredible power. And let it make us more efficient and give us more time. And we're still in that phase where we're kind of banging heads and
Yeah, I was really tying together that you're breathing in a new generation that is used to searching to answer any question in life, practically, whether that's good or bad, it's not the issue. And so the point is that when it comes to mortgage, I do this myself with my own business, is that when I'm looking at vendors, I will go to ChatGPT or whatever it is, and tell me like the top three that fits this parameter. So you know that mortgage is going to be part of that and is part of it now. And
Absolutely.
so it doesn't seem to me, and I think this is maybe my big question, I don't think we're too far away from this. I think lenders think they have more time than they actually do.
I agree with that 1,000%, right? So I think that the thing that holds a lot of it back, there's a couple of things that hold AI back right now from being like completely dominant in our lives. Number one is all of our understanding or lack of understanding how to properly prompt. Right. So if I could properly prompt to get the perfect mortgage for me, and maybe I should go in the business, maybe we should all go in the business of selling prompts. I have no idea. But if I could properly prompt the perfect mortgage for me and put that in and it would spit it back, well, I've done all my homework. I don't have to do anything. You could tell me where to pull the documents I need, put it all in one package so that all I have to do is hit a button and I apply. But the other disconnect is that, or the other barrier is the connection of AI to our personal lives. Like I use AI all day, but it doesn't have access to my bank account. It doesn't have access to my documents. And I think that's part of that justified fear is part of what's holding it back. But if 6 months from now there's a valid explanation to me of why I could have all my bank statements stored in a file and access them for a mortgage application online, then nobody's going to see them and nobody, whatever. Mortgage is going to change and it's going to change completely and totally drastically. If I have one fear of AI, it's that, we already see that AI has impacted college grad hiring, right? They say that the current college grad hiring unemployment is higher than it's ever been. There's going to come a time where AI, where companies are really like, you know what? I could get rid of 10,000 people. And if they do it, when do we as a people get involved and say, we need to set guardrails. We need to set societal guardrails around the impact of AI, right? I saw Bill Gates 30 years ago say that we have to tax robots. A car factory builds a robot that replaced the worker, it should be taxed because somehow that worker, if they can't ever find a job again, has to be supported. I think we have to have those conversations around AI at some point sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Because we all know in a capitalist society, if we leave it to the companies, it's never going to happen. They're going to have incredible, crazy earnings, but
Right.
I don't know. I think we have to have those conversations sooner rather than
No,
later.
I think you're exactly right with that. So we're down to just a few more minutes, and I could have gone on forever about this one because it's an important topic. But talk about a couple takeaways for our listeners today about the removing friction. You already talked about where to kind of start. Talk and anything else you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think that another place that the industry is at risk from using AI to remove friction, and we've seen it in the last couple of days, a lot of talk about banks supposedly, having gotten out of mortgage
We're
for
going to go back, right?
Basel III, or other people say different things. A bank has all the information they need to offer you a mortgage at any time. They basically have every piece of information that they need because they have your payroll deposits and they have your savings, and
Sure.
friction will allow them to hit a button and basically just say, at all times, as long as this red light is in your bank portal or this green light, you're approved for a mortgage. Until that changes to red, you're not. You wouldn't have to do anything. It's just there. It just sits there. You're approved. So, I think that if I'm a consumer, that removed a lot of friction for me, right?
Sure.
If I got a little dollar sign up in the corner that says $800,000 loan approved at all times, I don't
That's
know.
a winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything
So
else you'd like to share?
I just think that the interesting, exciting, and scary times for all of us because of AI, I think that generally in mortgage, when you're faced that change is coming, you better start thinking from the customer backwards instead of thinking about this is what we do and how do we maintain exactly what we do and how do we keep doing exactly what we do and how do we grow what we do. AI means created opportunities. If you think about the businesses that changed in the 90s with the advent of the, HTML internet, you
Sure.
better start thinking that way because some 18-year-old kid could create an app in his basement tomorrow that puts all of us out of business. Right. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I always think of Sears was Amazon and literally like closed the year before Amazon. If you're in mortgage and you're not thinking from the customer backwards right now, you're susceptible to the
Replacement for
opportunity
sure.
that'll be created by AI.
Well, Mike, as usual, you're terrific and certainly appreciate you sharing all your great wisdom today. So, how can people get a hold of you if they want to have more conversation?
They could ping me on LinkedIn, I guess, or
Well, you post, yes, you have great posts. So.
knock on my door. They could knock on my door with a Guinness.
Well, that's another way too, right?
Yeah,
So, anyway, all right. Well, thanks again, Mike. And I want to thank our listeners today and certainly subscribe to hear more podcasts on great topics within the mortgage industry. Thanks again, Mike.
all right, we'll see you, Pat. Thanks for having me.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your team. Want more proven sales strategies? Visit patsherlock.com for expert resources, coaching, and sales training. Until next time, keep selling smarter and not harder.